nearly 34,000 practitioners of Tai Chi, a slow-moving meditative martial art, gathered outside the Bird's Nest on Saturday to mark China's inaugural National Fitness Day and set a new Guinness World Record as they did. Much like the opening ceremony of the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games, the event was a display of mass unity, with participants, a sea of men and women dressed in silk white gowns, moving in unison. As Beijing looks back at its Olympic legacy, one of the biggest challenges it faces is dealing with the 36 venues it spent more than $40 billion to build. On Saturday night, Chinese soccer fans watched Italian soccer teams Lazio and Inter Milan play at the Bird's Nest Stadium. The game was the first time a sports event was hosted at the stadium since the Paralympics, which followed the Summer Games last year. Many venues are struggling under the weight of hefty maintenance costs and financing payments. The Bird's Nest and Watercube Aquatic Center are two venues that seem to be making do by improvising and turning them into tourist attractions. Managers of the Watercube say it will eventually be transformed into a multi-purpose leisure center, featuring a water park and a recreation center with spas and a shopping area. Aside from hosting an occasional music concert, the 80,000-seat Bird's Nest has largely become a backdrop for those wishing to explore the massive facility or have their picture taken standing on the winner's podium with an Olympic torch or flowers in hand. Albert Ng, CEO of Wild China, a travel agency based in Beijing, says the Olympics have helped stir up more interest in modern China and how the country is looking toward the future. He says tours to see new architecture and art and culture zones in Beijing are on the rise.
It's quite interesting because like 1 or 2 years ago, people are just interested in going to see Imperial China, the old China, but now there's much more interest in focusing on the new China.
Earlier this year, a tourism survey by Beijing authorities found that the Bird's Nest was the most popular tourist site in the capital, even surpassing more traditional attractions such as the Forbidden City. Frank Shaw, a senior consultant with Zhou Marketing, a sports branding company based in Shanghai, says the demand is strong among Chinese consumers for big events like Saturday's soccer match. What is lacking is the people to make such events happen regularly. Shaw says the good thing about the Olympics was it opened the eyes of Chinese companies to the power of brand marketing. But he adds the post-Olympic environment has been rather cold.
It's kind of a little bit cold. I see just maybe only like few athletes after Olympic really doing some commercial for the brands. Actually, not many athletes as we expected after Olympic.
As August 8th arrived, China publicly reflected on its anniversary of the Games through state media news reports and articles. One opinion piece mocked those it called the politically minded, who it said wished that the historic occasion would help to bring about changes that suit their own tastes. The article noted that the Beijing Games had brought cleaner air and better transportation to the nation's capital and raised the quality of life there. At its conclusion, the piece suggested the world should celebrate a more confident, accommodating, and responsibility-conscious China. The state-run China Daily highlighted China's efforts to give foreign media more access to covering news, calling that change the legacy of the Olympics. Scott McDonald, president of the Foreign Correspondents Club in China, agrees that authorities have been working to improve conditions for journalists.
You could say things have improved in that the government did make permanent the relaxed ruling conditions that had been brought in for the Olympics. That those rules allow reporters to travel to different areas of the country, except Tibet, without getting prior approval.
McDonald says that there have been more press conferences and notes that in the wake of the recent riots in Xinjiang, the government set up a press center there for reporters. Still, problems remain.
There is still incidences of people harassing sources. Sources are phoned up, or local officials sometimes follow reporters out and stand nearby while they're trying to interview sources. Sometimes the news assistants are called in by officials just to ask what their employers are doing.
One long-term problem, which was a major concern going into the Olympics, was the quality of the air in Beijing. In the run-up to the Games, Beijing took drastic steps to prevent its notorious smog from overshadowing the Olympic Games and threatening athletes as well as spectators. Factories were moved or cleaned up, special traffic measures were put in place, and all construction work was ordered to halt. The result, some say, was progress. Chinese officials say that in the first 7 months of this year, Beijing has enjoyed its best air quality this decade. Officials say there were 171 days of low pollution from January to July, 22 more than in 2008. A United Nations Environment Program report released earlier this year says that China's massive efforts helped reduce pollution by 36% during the Games. The real question for those who live in Beijing, however, is whether or not the efforts are long-lasting. Some longtime residents remark that the air does seem to be getting better, but, they add, that does not mean the smog has gone away. William Ide, VOA News, Hong Kong.